Good morning.
Good morning.
Again. I say that because I haven't been able to get around and see everyone, so I see you now. And good morning. Praise the Lord. We're able and thank the Lord we're able to be here to come together to worship and to study together. I have some thoughts put together this morning that I put together quite some time ago for my own Christian life. And so each and every one of these questions or comments that I make are directed to me. I continue to do it, and I will continue to do it all the days of my life. And I hope you can glean something from it and the things that I say and the scriptures that we use with God's teaching. The question we will use for the sermon or the lesson is, what am I worth to the church? What am I worth to the church? Alice reminded me of a saying that was once made by one of our presidents, and I changed the words to that. And if I can remember it now. Well, I have it right in front of me. Ask not what the church can do for me, but ask what I can do for the church. And we need to have that in our spirit, within our minds, continually, as we all come together as part of the church, desire the things of the Lord that do come together as the church builds and continues to stand for the truth in this world and in this congregation. So let's glean from the thoughts. Part of the scripture was read for us a while ago, but I would like to continue with that reading from Colossians, the third chapter. We'll read the first 11 verses for our thoughts. Colossians 3, 1 through 11. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. So these are very good thoughts that we have from the scriptures, very good teaching. The tendency, probably for a long, long time, but in my lifetime, the tendency during these last few years that I have lived and have seen it, it seems has to been to build up the church numerically. We want a bigger congregation, and the bigger we are, the better we look. But the thing of it is, it's much thoughts and much not thoughts, actually, has been given without giving much consideration to the genuineness of conversion. The people really understanding and becoming a part of that church, of the Lord's church, becoming a part of this congregation, whatever they might be at, you know, wherever they might be. So this practice has resulted in many, many unconverted people being deceived into thinking that they are really Christians. I have examples of that through my life that people in our own little congregation that we were down in East Alton, that we would, people come, we'd have, you know, teach them or whatever and become members of that church. And there's all kinds of situations that do arise. They become lax in coming, they become this and this, and a lot of times they just completely quit. So, but yet, I remember one incident of a gentleman and his family, but they left the congregation and we never heard of them, never seen them for a long time. We worked with them and stuff, but the thing of it was that maybe 10, 12 years later, he ran a business and he gave a reference to the people he was going to work for that he was a member of the Church of Christ in East Alton, a faithful member. Well, it came to us, the people asked us about him, you know, and so what are you going to say? What are you going to say? So that's some examples of how things go, that the people really think they're converted, but yet do nothing and finally fade away a lot of times. To be a Christian means more than merely having one's name on the church register or be a part of that congregation. Almost every congregation, probably in this world, there are several people within that congregation that are either not there anymore or are coming in and sitting in services every time the doors are open, but yet not any way contributing to their own soul and trying to do the Lord's work. And I want to continue to say these things point back to me, and I hope that you will understand that's where I'd like to bring these points out, that we look at ourselves and strive to keep ourselves strong and continue to do the things that the Lord has asked us to do to be a Christian. With this attitude, with this type of attitude that we might have within ourselves, the Scripture says in Matthew 3:10, when the time comes, and even now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. In 1 Peter 4:17, for the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, the house of God, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? What will be the end of those who do not obey? So the Scripture tells us very plain. So let us try to find an answer then for the question that we ask, what am I worth to the church? What am I worth to the church? Not what the church can do for me, but what I can do for it. Through the Word of God, through the obedience of God, doing that which we're not adding something from the world, we're not adding things like that, but according to the examples that God has given us and the commands. Well, when we go into the Scriptures, we know that the Bible tells us we need, it requires a personal examination. Scriptures are very familiar with us in 1 Corinthians 11:28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. There's a lot in those words that we need to understand, not just when we partake of this, but there's a whole field of things that we need to understand what that means. So let us examine ourselves when we partake of that to remember when we eat of the bread, what all that means, what all Jesus taught, what he brought to us. That is the bread of life, the Word of God, what Jesus brought to us. So to test, to examine, to prove within ourselves, to see whether a thing be genuine or not. That's what we do when we examine ourselves against the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Prove your own selves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? In Galatians 6:3-5, for if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. The same word, prove. Prove yourself, is found in each one of these passages that God brings forth to us. As we think about all of these things, I made a list as I think about them, and I hope you can consider them too. Some searching questions to aid in this personal examination. And we can apply this to anything in our life. I have another point that we will illustrate the standard of measurement against ourselves, and we'll talk about that too. But as we look through this, think within yourselves. The searching questions to aid us in becoming that person, that Christian, that God wants us to be. Am I an asset or am I a liability to the church? You understand the word asset? No. Do you understand the word liability? Well, if you have insurance, you know. But what am I? Am I a burden to the church? Everything that I do or don't do or say, is that against the church? And is it a liability to the church? Striving to tear down. Striving to tear down. There's some things that just happened. All of you know that I work for the Grandpa Gang at the decorating the park down in Alton. There's some things that went on this winter. We had over 3,000 feet of wire stolen. And we kind of passed that off because it's happened before and it'll probably happen again as long as we're able to go. But as I got into identifying all of the wire that was taken, it was specialty wire from some stuff. And so, right away, I began to add up points and things that I saw that did not add up to the original or to the standard old thievery that we generally have. My point is this, that it seemed to me that it was determined to get in and to do this, to tear down the operations and tear down that organization. And that's what I'm saying. When we are an asset or a liability to the church, that liability can come to many things. That we can, all sorts of things to do to tear down the church, to make it go the way we think it might go, and not having scriptures to back that up. And again, the second point is, am I a help or a hindrance to the work? And that all works together, as we know. Does my being a member of the church add strength and character to it? I think we can each one say amen to that. For the young people that I'm so blessed with, my son and his son now, so thankful. Am I, by my daily life, having an influence for good? When we are out in anything, doing anything we possibly can, and most of all, setting that example of who we are And it always comes around to, where do you go to church? Well, you name your congregation. Come visit us sometime. But am I, by my daily life, having the influence for good? Or does my member, being a member of this church, add strength and character to it? These questions go together. Each one of them go together. Am I daily growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ? That's very evident in all of our lives. I know myself. If I don't get to study enough and know the lesson, I can how that can be. And come in and say, ooh, I don't, not following, or this or that or the other. And it's happened many times in my life, getting up and getting a lesson. Buddy, I'm ready. All the confidence in the world. And whew, one of the worst jobs I've ever done. Okay. Am I becoming more efficient worker in his service? Have I been instrumental in leading anyone to Christ? Well, that has many aspects in our lives, beginning with that example that we set in our daily lives. But the opportunities that we have, and we're able to handle those things, handle them properly. So many times we have encouragement and teachings upon that, Brother Forrest's lessons and all of our lessons, how we can handle working with people and coming across to and teaching them and not being abusive or turning them off immediately. Am I giving encouragement to the unsaved and the young converts by attending the various services of the church and extending to them a glad welcome? Or am I proving a spirit of indifference and carelessness with reference to my own salvation and that of my fellow man? I ask all of these questions, and like I said, I ask them of myself because many of them hit hard on me through my life. And I continue to study them. I continue to always have them in my mind because I slip up a lot of times. And we try to overcome that. We learn by our mistakes. So then, what is the standard of measurement? What is the standard of our measurement? Well, to illustrate this, I pulled out there's all kinds of things that we can think of, but we need to think about the leader of any situation that I might bring up here. That is me. That is you, personally. So I, for this purpose, one's worth to the church may be measured by practical business standards. A person feels that it is their duty or it is their duty to be worth something to the business or the firm, whoever you're working for, that is employing and trusting you. I should go to work filled with enthusiasm and thankful that I have a job. As I think back, I can amen every one of those to myself. I was thankful. But suppose I lose interest, half-heartedly do my job. Don't care if it gets done right. Or if I lay off a day or two every now and then without telling anybody why, I just don't show up. Or as I've seen many times, it just goes on and they don't show up at all. You don't see them no more. Well, this can apply to us working for someone in a business. We have an important job. I worked in a plant, and my job was, well, I did about everything at one time or another. But the idea that I had in my mind, if they didn't need me in there doing my little part, whatever it might be, they didn't need me to start with. So I tried to do my job the best I could and learn more and more. And it came down to the point that I had a job, some of the jobs I was on, I was the one and only that ran that whole department. And so I still had the same attitude. If it wasn't for me, they wouldn't need, if it wasn't my ideas of trying to get the job done, it wouldn't need me. Okay, those are just some examples. It can work in our marriages, one or the other fails to be the bond, to start not coming home, not doing this, not doing that, or whatever. So you can see how this works. You can see how this works, how we can slide away and not doing our part to build, build, and build. And that is our responsibility within the church. That is my responsibility to look at myself, and am I doing all that I can? Am I looking for things that I can do according to God's word, according to the way that we are supposed to be? The point is, with all of that said, wouldn't somebody try to come out and find out what's happened to you, what has happened to that good employee, and try to get that good employee back to bring that faithful, trying their best, sound employee back that he was in the beginning? Hebrews 13:17 says, "Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let him do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you." If they were come looking for me, that would be unprofitable for me, because my desire is to get to heaven, and I'm turning my back upon that. We don't want that. Another good way for one to measure our worth to the church is to see ourselves as others see us. The old familiar questions, almost kind of like a little rhyme. If every member of this church were just like me, what kind of a church would this church be? Write that down up here. I have for years. So some practical ways in which one may be of value to the church: by faithful, trying to be a Christian, doing all we can, zealously doing it with our attendance, with our study, with our doing whatever we can do. By demonstrating loyalty to the divine authority. And who is that? That's God. What he has given us, he has given us the perfect plan of salvation. He has given us examples, examples, and examples of how we should live our lives according to his word. He has given us everything, and it's all right. It's not all right. It is all right what he has given us. Acts 3:22-23, "For Moses truly said to the fathers, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you, and it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people.' You follow my word," God said. "You follow my example that I have laid for you. So be loyal. Be loyal to me." By living a godly life among our brethren and fellow man, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Have your conversation honest in the Lord. There's your example that you're setting forth. There's your example that you're setting forth for yourself. By striving to become more efficient in his service, by doing all that we can. I've always said, if you cannot do anything but come in and warm a pew, that's a lot. If your heart is right and you're striving to learn within yourself and to be in your living, you can go out and your example is still going to be good. There's something about that person that I don't see him involving in a whole lot of things. So yes, that is a very simple way, and I hope I'm not wrong on that. But then there's all sorts of other things that we have capabilities of doing, and we need to strive to do them. Don't just sit back and say, "Well, no, I'm not going to do that." So there you are slipping into the other there we are slipping back into the other thing. Everything I say is applied to me at one time or another. And by maintaining a cheerful and enthusiastic attitude toward the work, toward each other as Christians, and I think we have a good example of that. Not too many leave here and go home and mumble about what they did. There's no they to it. It's we. This congregation is we. I don't like what they are doing down there. It's what we're doing. If something doesn't agree, we need to talk to one another about it. All right. And again, then I say, with all of these points, ask not what the church can do for me. That's already been done. That's been done. You knew the truth. We know the truth. We accept it. But then what can I do for the church? Through my body, through my spirit, and the things that I can do. What am I worth to the church? Y'all hear an amen? Amen. I hope the points don't irritate you, but I hope we can all, I learn from it, and I hope you do too. So saying these things that we know, that we're talking to ourselves as we have become a Christian, but for those of you that might be here this morning that have not obeyed, we must understand that the very first thing we have to do is, there is a God. What's this all about? So we begin to study. You might hear. Hearing is the first command. Hear the word of God. And through that, we have faith that something is going on here and something can be done. And we follow the commandments of the Lord that is given us to repent of our past life and to continue on, repent of our sins, be buried with him in baptism, and arise to walk in a newness of life and follow that life. That is the call that has been put forth by the Lord. The call of the gospel reaches every person in this world, I believe, at one time or another. It is up to us to accept that. So if you might be in that category this morning, we would pray that you would understand that we can help and help you to understand to do the right things and become a Christian. Or if you need the prayers of any one of us or all of us together, the congregation here, we pray together for you that you might find strength to rebuild your life, get back on track, whatever it might be. The invitation is to you, each and every one of us, in any way, as we come together and stand and sing.